Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and great morning to our listeners out there. This is your host, Tenille Michael, and I'm always overjoyed to bring you in to your fresh perspective powered by Power with Purpose. We're going to be speaking about just some great things today, and we're going to come from the conversation when being you is not good enough. I actually have a great co-host out there. Her name is Monica Wimberly. You have heard her before, and I promised you, or as promised, she will join us frequently to just give you a fresh perspective and also just to speak directly from her heart. So we're going to go out there and see if she's here. Mrs. Monica Wimberly, are you here?
Yes, I am, Minister Tenille. I am here.
Great, great, great.
Can you hear me?
As always. I can hear you clearly. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great, great. Well, I'm just always overjoyed, you know, to be able to reach out to you and just to, you know, just for you to be a part of something that's wonderful and powerful. And just for our listeners, you know, just to get to know you more. So if you can just give us some background, you know, on you and what you're looking to do and what you're already involved in, that will definitely be appreciated.
Well, thank you so much. And good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to our listeners, because somewhere in the world it is evening, and I'm very well aware of that. And I'm just excited about today. I'm excited about everything that is going on in my life, Minister Tenille's life, and as well as your lives. To talk a little bit about what I'm involved in. I'm involved in quite a few things, but my passion is definitely helping seniors as well as people reentering the communities. And I'm talking about people that have been incarcerated. Because one thing we have to realize, the same communities they left, they will be returning. And we have to be equipped to assist them. We have to be equipped to forgive and forget. We have to be equipped to know that they have possibly, some of them have done maybe a year, a few months. Some may have done as many as 25 to 50 years or more. And the world has changed, things have changed, so you cannot expect a person to come out of prison after all that time, and technology has changed, and, you know, the way things are done has definitely changed. So we are our brother's keeper, and the same way God forgave us, we have to forgive them. So one thing that I'm working on, I guess you call it a grant or an initiative, is to ensure that the people that were incarcerated, and I'm basically talking about males, and they need to have entrepreneurial training. Because if you look at what got them there in the first place, it was their attempt to become an entrepreneur. And they were going about it the wrong way. They did not have the leadership, the guidance. They had leadership and guidance of a criminal element. But there is so many ways to be an entrepreneur. And some of us are just born with that gift. We cannot work for anyone else, but we can definitely help someone else along the way to their dreams and their goals. And the same energy that they put into selling drugs or running numbers or whatever they did, or even selling knockoff pocketbooks and, you know, getting locked up for bootleg movies. They did not want that drive within them to be quenched. So what I plan on doing and what I am doing is putting together a program where when they come out, they will have a halfway house to come to. They will also be taught how to put together a business plan. They will also be taught how to file their taxes and not get around paying their taxes. Also, they're going to learn how to pay themselves first, because that's very important, especially in the economy that we're in today. And there's so many tax write-offs as being an entrepreneur, and how to give back. That's one thing that, you know, a lot of business owners are not doing right now. They're not giving back to the community. Okay, they may, for a drive, a blood drive or something, have their staff go and donate blood. But I'm talking about true donations. When you have a family that is on the street, a mother, a father, and children, and they have nowhere to go. And there are business owners that have the finances, they have the ability to put them up in a hotel, let's say for a month, until they can come into one of the other programs that we provide, where they can live in a home, where they can be given a home. You know, we have to bring our resources together. We have to bring our finances together, because as I said before, we are our brother's keeper. Minister Tennille, do you have any comments on that?
Absolutely. I think the one thing that, you know, that bothers me tremendously is exactly that. When you get to a point, or when you get to a level of success, and we're going to just go along with this for the sake of conversation in terms of what the world deems as success, it's literally along the lines of what your material possessions are, okay? But when you get to a level of success, and for me it's not just material, I mean, that's just the default, you know what I mean? It's about where you are spiritually first and foremost, and it's also about your level of care and compassion for others. That's success to me. Like I said, the money and all the other stuff comes by default because your spirit and your heart is in the right place. The problem that I have with most individuals who are either in this position already where they have readily available resources, or individuals that have influence, you know, and they do not just basically tailor that influence to helping someone else, it's a problem. And then, of course, you know, you have people who are incarcerated, be it men or women, you know, children, who the systems of the world today are not built once you enter that system. It's not built once you come out, especially depending upon what your said crime is. It's not built to support you, because you become what we call the voiceless. You become the unknown face. And so where they call themselves rehabilitating you, you know, or even putting you in these programs that are really just not built to actually assist you and to get you to a point to where you're feeling like, you know, you can make it, shall we say, financially, because this is what the real issue is, then what is it that you do? You know, America is the only place, and I'm not going to say the only, but I'm going to say one of the top. I'm going to say where you can reinvent yourself no matter what your background is, no matter, you know, where you come from, you can always reinvent yourself. But what we have to understand is that we cannot look to the systems of the world to make us better. We have to, just like my co-host, you know, basically indicated, we have to become our own economies. When we take care of one another, that's where the strength is. And when you see a brother or a sister that has fallen, you know, we never know why a person decided to do this and why a person decided to do that. Don't get me wrong, I am not condoning any sort of crime, but everyone who has actually been incarcerated did not commit the said crime, where you have ones that have. My point is the fact that do not lose sight that they are humans. Do not lose sight that they still need to be helped as well, because we are all human. We're people. But you have to learn how to be able to create an opportunity instead of looking for one. If you want something to do, definitely take care of those who are in need of care. And a lot of times, again, here, we can all in our families, and let's just be very, very honest here, we can, everyone in your family, there is somebody or there's a few somebodies that have seen that side of the law, okay? And that is just the truth. And what you have to understand is the fact it's not your place to judge him or her. It's what you really need to do in terms of what it is, what you really need to do is be able to reach a hand, not a hand out, but give them a hand up. Because if you are in a position to where you can change someone's life and change it for the better, then why not do that? And that ties, so much into when being you is not good enough. Because, see, when you begin to live your life in such a way to where you are always looking for someone else to say, job well done, or you're looking for someone to say, you know, I don't think you should do this or you should do that, you know, or you're getting advice about your life decisions. And I'm not saying there's something necessarily wrong with that. Where it becomes wrong is when you begin to take on what this person or that person is telling you, and that becomes your reality. Then you have identity crisis because you do not know who you are. And if you do not know who you are, how can you even begin to understand, number one, where you're going, what you want to do, and how you can be of help to someone? So you have to be your best you. There's nothing wrong with getting advice from someone, but do not take it to the degree to where you are living the reality or their reality, where they're telling you something and you feeling that this is what you need to do so you yourself can be a better person. No, no, no. It begins with God, then you, and then that ending is whatever you choose to walk in. Hopefully, my Lord, it's, you know, according to God's perfect will and way for your life. But you still have to be very, very cognizant of what it is that you're doing, because oftentimes you can get sound advice even from your parents, grandparents. You can get it from anyone that you would think cares for you, and it doesn't even have to be in your immediate family. It could be someone that you've known throughout your life, and you need an opinion. You want to know what they feel or what they think, and that's all well and good. But again, don't lose yourself in the process of trying to get the help that you feel that you need to move to a next level or to move to a different place in your life, because you're always good enough. It just, what comes into play is the fact that you begin to compete with something or someone that you feel is that good enough for you, meaning that if you're on a job, and for instance, and you want to be promoted, and then you may have a mentor there, it could be your boss, it could be anyone, or you may not even see, or you see someone, even your professional, another part of your professional life or your personal life, and you want to be not necessarily who they are, but you want to so much attain what they have, or you want to obtain a position, and you begin to mimic what they do. You begin to follow what they do, and you begin to shape your life in such a way to where you begin to not just run your own race, but you begin to run theirs. And like I said, it's nothing wrong with having or surrounding yourself with positive people, with influential people, but remember, that's the key right there. You have to run your own race. What's ordained for you is indeed for you. What you have to understand is that all the advice that you're taking in, all of that, let it be what it is, advice. Don't get to a point to where, again, their reality and what they think your life should be becomes your reality. Because once again, you put yourself in a space and place to where you would not know how to operate. Not even who you are, identity crisis. Prime example, I'm going to take it to Bible because you know I have to give you all Bible. In the Bible, Moses was instructed by God to go to King Pharaoh and tell him to let his people go. Now, the people of Israel were enslaved by King Pharaoh, which is in Egypt. And, you know, he was telling him, you know, coming back and forth and telling him the different things that God had commanded him to do. And he told him, you know, if you don't do these things, then these things will happen to you. But King Pharaoh was very honorary. He was very stubborn. And he's like, I am king and I'm not going to do these things. And Moses had said to God, you know, this is a king. I'm just Moses. Those people are not going to hearken their ears to even hear me because I'm just Moses. In other words, I'm not good enough. So how can you put me in to go and tell a king what he's supposed to do and expect him to listen to someone like me? Even to go further, Moses had a speech impediment. So when he talked, it was not as clear as I'm talking or even as my co-host is speaking. But, you know, he chose to just still not do it. You know, he eventually did it because when God tells you to do something, you're going to do it. But he questioned God all the way. And even down to the point to where God told him, I'm going to make you king over the king. And your brother Aaron is the apostle. One thing that you always have to understand, that when God ordains for you to do something, he already has the people there to help you. He already has everything lined out. He already has everything laid out for you. Everything is in line for you. All you have to do is walk in your faith and do it. And even when he told Moses that, Moses was still doubtful. Can I get him to listen to me? Can I get the people free from enslavement in Egypt? And he knew that his brother Aaron was powerful, but he never even thought about God already placing Aaron there to help him with this great task. And then when he went back to God one last time, God got angry and basically told him to go and do what I ordained or what I told you to do. Just listen to what I said and all will be done. So, I mean, the ending to that is the fact that he did it. And eventually Pharaoh had to let the people of Israel go due to the fact that that was what was supposed to be in the first place. God had already ordained Moses to be able to get this done, but Moses had to get to a point of belief that he can do it, that he was good enough to do it because God said, I'm going to make you king over that king. So if God tells you that, he's already telling you that things are already in line. All you have to do is love me enough and believe me enough and get it done because I've laid everything else out for you. How often do we as people be afraid of something new? And you even ask yourself, am I good enough to do this? Can I do this because I may not have experience in this? Or can I be a blessing to someone when I have so much chaos going on in my life? Can I do this? Can I do that? You ask yourself the question, and before you know, you have talked yourself out of doing what you know you were supposed to be doing in the first place. And then what you do, you go call Mary, you go call Erica, Shamika, whomever's in your life, and then you get them to co-sign with you and to try to lift you up to give you the confidence that you need to go and make it or to do the kinds of things that you know you were ordained to do. The one thing that I do know more than anything is that God has you to do something, and it's actually ordained for you to do it. It runs so smoothly. He always said that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And for some of you that are listening that do not necessarily know what that means that whatever God intends for you, whatever he ordains for you, he's paved the way. So you don't have to think about the how or the way because God is the way. You don't have to think about how things are going to come together because what? He is the how. He is the way. All you have to do is get beyond your fear of thinking that you're not good enough because God had born people, sons and daughters, who were not good enough. That became something that you have invented within your own life, within your own mind. And if you are an individual such as my co-host, Mrs. Rimberly, indicated, to where you have been incarcerated for whatever the reason, and especially if you are a male, and you get to this point to where you're about to be, to use a lack of better words, reintroduced back to society, you already have these plagues against you. Number one, you have this record. Number two, they have these quote-unquote programs that you have to go into once you are free, depending upon what your said crime was, to get you back into the point of being reintegrated into society, only for you to obtain jobs that are beneath you, only for you to obtain positions that, what, just get you to a point of survival, but really doesn't do anything to change your life. That's why it's so, so imperative for all of us to come together and make things happen for each person. Each person, because it is so, so very necessary. And if we don't do it, let's just be honest here, everyone, it's just not going to get done. So, Mrs. Wimberly, you know, I tell you what, this is always, you know, a subject for me that really, really hits home in so many ways, because I was just the opposite. I always knew that I was good enough, and I never had to have anyone tell me, because my parents had instilled in me, especially my mother, the foundation of God and who I was, that there's nothing that I could not do, there's nothing that I could not obtain. So my question to you is, what kind of advice, or even what kind of just, you know, wisdom would you give to someone who is battling themselves? And it's not even so, it just gets worse when they bring people into the fold, because they are already in a state to where they're feeling that they're not good enough to do this, to do that, to get to the next level, no matter what that next level may be. What would you say to someone, or a few someones, some of the things that they can do to get them there?
Well, Minister Tennille, one thing that I say to everybody is they have to know who they are and whose they are. They have to know and stay connected with God through Jesus, because any other way, it will not work. And I guarantee it will not work, because the world is not set up for us to exclude God and exclude Jesus. So you're already, if you're doing that, you've already lost. You might as well throw in the chips. You're done. But
Absolutely. To
always put God first and trust him and believe him. You are a winner. I don't care what it looks like, what it feels like, what it smells like, what it tastes like, because what God has for you is for you. He has placed special gifts inside of each and every one of us. So we don't have to look at someone else and say, oh, I wish I could braid hair like they do. Well, that's their gift. I can't braid at all. I just wear a ponytail. And to hear a person sing on the choir, oh, I want to do a solo, but I can't sing. Well, that's their gift. You have to look at what God gave you. God gave me a gift to be able to sew. And I knew that as a very young child, and I did not want to sew. But I thank God for my grandparents who raised me, and they told me, you know, back in the 50s, you have to have a trade. Because when jobs close, and they called it jobs back then, just over broke, I call it work. When the work closes up, you have to be able to have a trade. You have to be able to do something with your hands, because your hands, the gift with your hands, the gift with your mind, you know, the gift of speaking, whatever it is, you have to be able to do something when the employers shut the doors or turn you away. And the two options that they gave me were sewing or doing hair. I said, well, I know I'm not going to stand up and do anybody else's hair when I'm wearing a ponytail and their hair is going to look better than mine. And plus, that's not my gift. But I said, you know, I'll sew. And my grandparents bought me a sewing machine. They got me fabric. And when I cut out my first pattern, I knew then something was there. So then I stopped buying patterns, and I would look at a dress or a blouse or a hat or something that I liked, and God would just show me how to cut it and show me how to sew it. And I thank God because I know that is my gift. And we have to look, as I said, deep down inside. There are people on this line that may be saying, I don't have a gift. That is not true. That is a lie from the pits of hell. If you are breathing and you are alive, you have a gift. You have to ask God, what is your gift? Your gift could be helping young people. Your gift could be motivation. Your gift, there's so many gifts. I mean, God gives out so many. I know I have other gifts as well that people keep telling me about, but I know that the gift of being able to sew is truly a gift because I can do it with my eyes closed. Also, in my sleep, God will come to me and show me different patterns and designs and things that he wants me to do. And I remember when I was younger and, you know, I wanted to go to Paris because I knew I was supposed to be a designer. My grandparents wouldn't have any of it. So that, to me, caused me at a younger age to have an identity crisis. I didn't want to sew anymore. You know, I just wanted to buy somebody else's clothes. Their labels were in the clothes. But as I became a young adult, I went back to sewing again. And I got my own labels, and I put my labels in the clothes. And then as I became an adult, God showed me a pattern to make bibs for seniors and for abled children and young adults. And I thank him for giving me that design. Not only did he show me how to cut it out, and this was 2 o'clock in the morning. He showed me how to cut it out. He showed me what fabric to use that would not shrink or fade, and he showed me the backing to put on it and how to enclose it and the trim. And when I woke up, it was like that bib was hanging in the wall, and I was blown away. And, you know, I like I said, we have to know who we are and whose we are. And we have to stay connected to God, you know. And trust me, being you is enough. Because with God, all things are possible. Back to you, Nancy.
Absolutely. Absolutely they are, you know. And see, and one of the things that was so powerful about what you said is that you recognize your gifts. You know, and so you know that in the areas where you were gifted, that is how you are supposed to live. And, you know, and it was never a question of somebody having to tell you you were good enough. You knew that. And even though that you had, you know, positive influences in your life, such as, you know, your grandparents, and you, of course, yourself are a positive influence to many, you still understood and knew that your purpose to be here, your purpose to do these, regardless of what may have come your way, regardless of who may have come your way or who has said some things that were just not right, you didn't let that deter you from achieving a goal, from reaching the levels that you wanted to reach, and that is what is so powerful. But you have so many individuals who don't have that kind of fortitude. They don't have, you know, that type of confidence. They wouldn't even know the beginning from the ending in terms of getting to a point and a space and place where they are able to exercise their understanding about who they are. So, you know, some of the things that you definitely can do, number one, see God. And if you don't know God, we'll get to know him. You know, I'm not telling you what to do with your life. I'm telling you how you can be successful in your life when you have the right priorities in place. God is a priority for Tennille, the very, very first in my life. and everything is under him. So, again, even if you don't know God, I'm going to tell you to get to know him. Even if you don't believe, I'm going to tell you get to a point to where you are or where you do believe, because you cannot live this life and knowing who you are and what your purpose to do without him, because he gave you life. And any individual, you know, you can agree to disagree, and that's all well and good, but you have to look at the reality of life. We have all made not-so-good decisions, but that doesn't mean that your life will begin and end with that not-so-good decision. You're going to keep on keeping on. Each day that you are blessed to live to see, no one has to tell you how to breathe. You just do it automatically. So if you think about some things that you can just do automatically without anyone having to tell you anything, to light a fire under you, begin there. You know, have positive affirmations. And Monica has 5 powerful ones that she says each and every day. I want her to share those with you before I even finish out. Can you share those 5 powerful affirmations that you have that you literally tell yourself each and every day?
Yes, and after that I have something I'd like to share that my grandparents told me over 60 years ago that I still remember. But the 5 things that I tell myself each and every day. Number 1, today will be my day. Number 2, I am the best me there is. Number 3, I know that I am a winner. Number 4, I can do it. I know I can. And number 5, God will always be with me. So it's important to be positive and believe in yourself. And the one thing that my grandmother had me recite as a little girl, and I still remember this, and she said, good, better, best. Never take a rest until your good becomes your better, and your better becomes your best.
Yes, that's powerful. That's powerful. And as you indicated, you know, your grandmother shared that with you as a young girl, and now you're not just a wife, but you're a mother, and you're also a grandmother. So, you know, it was a generational thing, you know, to where she even has instilled those things in her own children and grandchildren. And see, what's powerful about that is the fact that those are the things that she holds on to and holds dear to today. Because sometimes you have to be your own cheerleader. Sometimes you are all you have, and there's nothing wrong with that. Where it becomes an issue is when you literally decide that you're not good enough. Because, see, what you have to remember, only you put that there. If you are believing what someone else has told you about you, it's because you gave them the power to affect you in that way, be it mentally, be it physically, you know, emotionally, spiritually, you gave them the power. I'm telling you this morning, this afternoon, this evening, wherever you are in this world, take it back. Take it back and basically protect it, because no one has the right to steal your joy, number one. To me, joy is life. So no one has the right to steal your life, number one. No one has the right to tell you who you are. Because, my God, he born you. So someone telling you who you are, no. You know, and then third of all, no one has the right to direct you in a path to which you know that you do not want to go. But you do it to appease people. Sometimes it could be children trying to please parents. Sometimes it can be your spouse, you know, you trying to please your spouse or vice versa. It can be anything. What you have to understand is that you would have to have a conversation with your parents, never disrespectful, you know, but have a conversation with them and say, you know, I appreciate you, love you, but this is some of the things that I would like to do. Can you direct me on that? Or even if it's your spouse, you know, love you. I mean, you're married, right? Have that conversation. But never get to a point to where you lead an existence that's not your own. Because if you do, then guess what? Your life is not your own. And so everything that you are going to do contributes to what someone else believes that you should do, and will also contribute to what they feel or, you know, tell you the direction in which your life should go. And we all know that if you are an individual That is not how you live your life. That is not a way for you to live your life. And most importantly, if you are a parent, that is not what you want to pass on to your child or whomever, you know, be it biologically and or not, to even pass along to them. Because, see, everything begins and ends with God. Then it's you. And you have to make that decision, that informed decision, to say, this day, I'm going to be the best me that I can. I can do all things. Number one, because God said all things are possible through Christ that strengthens me. You know, and then we can run the gamut and tell you all these positive things that you can do. But if you yourself do not open your heart up to receive, open your mind up to be transformed, there's no way in the world that you can even begin to understand what we're talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, this is about having real conversation to where this becomes your lifestyle, not just something that you do for a short period of time, and then once you live in that moment, you're looking for the next high, whatever that is. No, these types of things, number one, this type of thing, shall I say, and knowing who you are, that needs to be your lifestyle, period. God needs to be your lifestyle because he's just not something that you do when you feel the need to call on him because you may be in a state of despair, whatever that despair is. I'm definitely not going to browbeat you with the word, but I will always give you a word from the God, and that is just the truth. Now, wherever your belief is, it is your belief. But I champion God, continue to do so. But I just want you to understand and know that you're not alone out there. You know, if you need to just call into this show just to feel like you are a part of something or you want to hear a positive word and, you know, positive affirmations, then do just that. You know, don't get to a point to where you just become just what you choose to become and you get no fulfillment out of that and you're getting no fulfillment out of life. Because people will tell you life is too short. No, life will continue to move forward and go forward. God, help me as long as you are here, my Lord. You know, as long as God ordains you to be here, let's just be very, very transparent because you're not going anywhere until he calls you home. So how about you jump on board and do what you need to do for you and the people that you need to bless? And always remember that you being good enough is not ever measured by people. It's measured by God. What's measured by people is the power that you choose to give them to make you into somebody that they want you to be. The sooner you understand that, I understand and I know and I champion the fact the better off that you will be. You know, we can't say it better than that. You know, we just can't. So what do you think about, Monica, just the dynamic between, you know, men and women? You know, you have so many women out here today that they feel they have to look a certain way. You have so many men out here today that feels that they have to look a certain way and you have to do certain things in order to be accepted, to be good enough. Can you give some advice or just some insight as to what you feel the true issue is as to how they've gotten there in the first place?
Well, I have to sort of laugh at that a little bit, not in a derogatory way, but, you know, a lot of people want to follow the crowd. They want to fit in, and I've always wanted to look different. That's why I laugh. If a style came out, I made sure I did not wear it. If a hairdo was going on, I did not have it. I wanted, and I continue to have my own look. And everybody should really have their own look. If it ends up being what the style is, so be it. But to go out of your way to wear these baggy pants with your underwear showing and can barely walk, holding your pants up, and I'm talking about males. And I'm not even going to say young males. I've seen some older ones doing it as well, just to feel like they're fitting in, but they are not fitting in. The enemy, Satan, is using them as a toy. They're being laughed at. You know, they're not comfortable, because how can you be comfortable if you're holding your pants in the front and then they're cupped around your butt cheeks in the back and then your underwear is showing? And the young ladies, I'm going to call them young ladies, they're not dressing like young ladies, but they should have a form of modesty to have all of your cleavage out. I'm talking about your whole chest, the top of your breast, and then the shorts are so short you can see the butt cheeks in the back. That is just totally nasty. It is not impressive. All of that draws negative attention to you. And going back to my grandparents, it's one thing my grandmother said that stuck with me. A man will do everything he can to go to bed with you, but when he's ready to marry and bring someone home to meet his family, he's looking for a virgin. Now, that to me is contradictory. Why are you trying to sleep with everybody, but you want somebody pure, and you've went through like 20, 30 women and leaving them out there on the island? But, you know, that goes back to feeling like you're not good enough. You know, you have to feel good about yourself. You cannot, as a female, feel that you have to be dressing provocative to get a man to look at you. I know at 60, and I dress very modestly, I will wear a turtleneck in the summertime. I always have on stockings, a slip, and everything. And men are trying to talk to me left and right. So it has nothing to do with how you are dressed. You have to have pride in yourself and not show everything. One thing my pastor always says is back in the day when they used to make cakes, they would take a part of the batter and make a sample. And she said, when you're making your cake and you're constantly giving away all the samples, what happens when it's time to bake your cake? So I look at that and saying, when these young ladies have slept with everybody they can sleep with because he looked at me and said I was pretty, because he said, I like you, I love you. No, you have to know that you're pretty. No one has to tell you that you are pretty. I know that I am beautiful. I don't care what anybody else feels. I felt that way all my life. I wear glasses. I've been called four eyes and everything else. But I know, still at 60, that I'm beautiful. And once you get that deep down in your heart and your soul and your mind and your very being, I don't care if you're 90, you're going to believe and know that you are beautiful. We have to tell our children, especially our girls, that they are beautiful. If we don't tell them in the house, some guy outside, and it may not be someone their age, some older man will begin to tell them how beautiful they are. And if we have already instilled it in them that they are beautiful, when he comes with that sweet talk and that side voice and all that other stuff that he's doing, she'll just laugh it off and say, yeah, I know. And he can't take her anywhere. He cannot do anything with her because she knows that she's good enough. And the young men that feel like, I have to fit in, I need to be in a gang. Well, if you're in a gang, you're not fitting in. You're blending in. Your identity is gone. You put all these tattoos on your body, which is an abomination before God. you're mocking yourself, and you will never, ever, as long as you're following a gang, you will never have your own identity. And that is a true identity crisis. Our young men need to know that they are to respect themselves, respect women. I taught my sons and my grandson, never do anything negative to a female that you would not want done to your mother, sister, aunt, grandmother, or any female family member. And that is how they respect women today.
That is wonderful. That is great. You know, you touched on a lot of valid points. One of the things that stands out to me the most is regardless of what people have said, regardless of what people have done, no one had to again tell you that you were good enough. And that is what that is basically what this conversation is about today. We've touched on so many different aspects of you not being good enough. We're always going to definitely give you Bible and just a small recap in regard to when God had commanded Moses to go to King Pharaoh to tell him to let his people go, the people of Israel, and how they were enslaved in Egypt. You know, and again, he didn't feel that he was good enough. Moses had a speech impediment. And even though he knew he had to do the commandments of God, even when God said to him, I'm going to make you king over him, he made him king over a king, he still didn't even see the blessing. He could not get past the feeling of not being good enough to even see the blessing that God had already put upon his life. Meaning this, God had put Aaron, which is Moses' brother, he had ordained him as an apostle to be there as Moses' helpmeet to get the great task done. And what I'm saying to you again here is when God ordains you to do something, and quite a few somethings, it's already laid out for you. You don't have to think about the how and the way, because God is the how and the way. And like I told you, I will never browbeat you with the Bible, but be very, very clear. I'm always going to include God in every conversation that we have, because that is the origin of you. And when you understand from whence you come, no one can tell you where you're going, and you won't begin to even utter the you know, out of your mouth, or even come, or even let things come into your mind, spirit, body, and soul about what other people think or what other people say. Because remember, it can only affect you by how much power you're giving to that person. So again here, you know, just be very, very clear, because I always believe that you need to live on purpose and with purpose. No matter what you do, be purposeful in doing it. And that's really, really all I'm going to say right now on this. You know, we're going to continue on with the discussion. Trust, we're going to do that. But at this time, I want to bring in Mrs. Dorlisa Mullen Mitchell. Everyone in Radio Land, she is a dear, dear person to me, a sister as well, a friend, and I can give her so many titles, but I won't. You know, I promised you that she will be a frequent voice that you hear, and I'm just going to reach out to her because I know she's here, and I'm going to ask her the same question. When being you is not good enough, what do you do?
Thank you so much, Tanil, for bringing me on. I tell you, first of all, you always need to just seek God first. Because when you feel that you're not good enough, he's always your validation to tell you, to give you confirmations daily, hourly, minute by minute, of how good you truly are. He will send people to you to just confirm that you are worthy of who you, just being worthy, and just sending those confirmations. I know it's times that I go through, and I think everybody goes through, because that is life, that you just wonder why. And just out of nowhere, someone will come in and speak something to you and ask you something and just say, I didn't know what I would do if it was not you, or I know that God sent you to me for this purpose because now I know and I want to thank you. So it's always, you always have things around you just to just give you that confirmation. He'll send you what you need when you need it, even though you don't think you need it at times, but he is always there to just be there for you and send you that constant confirmation of whose you are and who you are when you need it.
Absolutely, and that's powerful in itself. She told you the origin from whence you come and how he will always send you exactly what you need when you need it, even before you even think that you need it. And so even going further with that, you know, we're going to talk to the different audiences, you know, in terms of the people. I see you all out here. I see you all here also sending in your messages. I don't know your age ranges, okay, but I'm just going to say for the sake of conversation, goodness help me, that we have a mixture of people. So the question I'm going to ask you, I want you to be able to address the younger people, the males and the females, choose whatever or whomever you want to address first in terms of if they are in an identity crisis. And we're speaking about the identity crisis of, number one, not knowing who they are. So they can be easily influenced. They can be easily, you know, just led down a wrong path, you know, or even take on the life and the reality of whoever they are around. What would you say to them in terms of some of the things that they could do when they are in a state or a space and place of not being good enough? Because it begins with God, amen, you know, but also with you. Because if you are already in this condition, how do you get past it being a young person today?
Well, for one, the first thing that I usually do, if the person is in my immediate, I have that conversation, I take it away and say, well, what is it that you want to do when you, 10 years from now, 5 years from now? And a lot of them really say things like, I want to own my own business. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do this. And then I would bring to them, okay, so what if the actions that you're doing right now are getting you there? And especially when I find out that they want to own their own business, that's when I really tap into showing them that they are already set aside, when they already have that mindset to be a leader. So I just tap into that and even tap into that as far as, okay, what is it that I need to do? Am I around and I see people doing, I see my peers, whether they be female or male, doing things that I know is not right. Do I say, do I just go ahead and laugh and actually fit in just so that I won't be called out? Do I walk away? Do I say something to that person to say, you know, that's not right, you're not supposed to do that? And that's where I get to. But then what I do is, even if they're not around, one thing that I have learned, dear friend told me, you know, sometimes you just need to sit alone and just allow, just in just quietness and just allow your thoughts to just gear to what you need, what needs to happen. Because when you're sitting in just quiet and just sereneness, you'll be surprised what thoughts come to you. And when those thoughts are actually those thoughts of God to give you direction when you allow him to. Now, then once he gives you direction, it's up to you whether or not you actually implement that, those thoughts that he actually gives to you. And as far as either way, females, males, and as far as them just sitting in, thing that I notice in having, being a mother of both, I always look in when we go shopping and just do different things, I ask them different situations to prepare them. You know, what would you do if you were in this particular situation? Like one that I instilled in my daughters, just as far as I can remember, one thing that I just, because my mother always told me, when they beat the horn at you, you're not running to them. No, because you're not a dog. Dogs move towards motion. No, they come to you because of who you are. You're a lady. And they have to approach you in a proper manner. So if they don't come up to you and say, hello, how are you, something in a respectable manner, then it's no need to have a further conversation. So that's one thing. And even with, I'm noticing with the boys, that the girls are getting very physical, and where the line of work that I do, I see that that's getting more and more apparent. And so the girls are hitting the boys, and the boys are hitting them back. And neither one is right, so I always correct. First of all, nobody puts their hands on anybody. And it's, like, acceptable. I'm accepting it's a norm that a boy should hit me. It's the norm that a girl should hit me, and that's just not even acceptable. You let them know, first of all, you don't touch, this is my temple. Nobody allows them, nobody puts their hands on me unless I allow you to, because that's a gift, and that's something that you are going to have to understand and respect. So as far as the boys are concerned, it's so many of them that they are very, very intelligent, but they don't want anybody to know. So because of what I do as an educator, and a lot of us don't want everybody to know, it's a couple of boys that I struggle with, because what they'll do is, just because they want to stay with their friends, they will get the work done, and that's number one. So that's good. That already shows that they are setting themselves apart and they're working towards their vision. But then they're staying in that because they know that they can do it because it's easy, and just get by because they don't want their friends to know. So when I tell them, I said, this is a really good answer. Don't tell them that. Don't do that. No, I don't want them to know. It's not a secret to be set aside. It's not like it's a bad thing. It's a wonderful thing, because really you need to focus on that, and you would be surprised. Because I said, and I always tell them, it only takes one to do the right thing, because one will follow that one. Especially, you would be surprised the power that you have. And I tell them that one person can set a tone positively, or they can set it negatively. So it's all in what you allow to happen that you feel that you should do to just make that change. So it's just being able to have that confidence and that authority within you to do what you know was already told to you.
Absolutely. That was some definite great insight, you know, in terms of how young people will just basically be able to relate and adapt to certain things, and how, you know, your environment and what you're choosing to do, of course, with your own self, you know, plays the part, or even just contribute to that notion about, you know, if you're good enough to do this or if you're good enough to do that. And I have a question here for one of the online individuals. And Doralisa, I'm going to begin with you, and then Monica, I want you to answer it as well. She indicates that, well, she's an adult, and she says that, you know, she has always had an issue with basically relating to other people. So she's basically like she has secluded herself away from others, because she felt that if she was to integrate or just even immerse herself in conversation, that it will show that she's not good enough. My Lord, what do you say to a grown person that obviously had this issue from when she was younger, and she actually has carried over into adulthood? What kind of advice would you give her, you know, to more or less come out of the shell, and even more importantly than that, don't automatically assume that it will show if you immerse yourself in different conversations with different individuals that it, like, you have a sign written on your head that I'm inferior. What would you say to her?
Well, first of all, nobody's inferior, because God made you. She's here. She's here for her purpose. And it could be that she knows her purpose and she just doesn't feel that she's suitable for her purpose. And the first thing that I always will do is I will definitely say is to seek God and ask for direction. And once you do that, you need to start with an action, because he will always give you an answer, whether he tell you in thoughts, whether he sends you somebody. It's always a way, whether you see something along the way and you say, oh, I have an idea, he'll give you that answer, but you just have to be open to that answer. And one thing that I've noticed is, a lot of people, they think they have it going on. They really do. Oh, I'm doing this, and once I do this, and I do that, and I do this. But if you give them enough opportunity to speak, they will tell you some things that they really are insecure with themselves. So it's not that it's not necessarily that the person feels that they are doing that. There are, all of us have those times of like, I don't know if I can do this. But my advice is first to seek God, allow him to give you the answers, and then to just start out slowly. Hello, how you doing? And just really allow the person, because once you start doing that, give a compliment. That was my first thing that I used to do. Me being a person of fashion, I like to compliment, because one thing I like to do is I like to give a woman, a man, whoever, credit where it's due. If you look nice, I'm going to give you credit. So just start out by doing those little things that will make you comfortable, and before you know it, you're going to be in conversations, and those people that are meant to draw to her will draw to her, because that's her purpose and that's the destiny that she's supposed to be ready on the road to go to.
Absolutely. That was powerful. She said, I received that. Monica, same question. She is an adult who basically, you know, this was carried over from childhood. And now that she is an adult, and I reiterate that, she is having that issue in terms of not immersing herself in conversation or even letting people get to know her, because she is feeling that, you know, when she opens up her mouth, it will basically say, I am not good enough. So what would you say to her, you know, in terms of getting to a point to where fear doesn't become her, that she starves the fear walking in her faith? What would you say to her?
Well, one thing, I have to definitely agree with everything that Dorlisa said. And one thing we know is that God does not give us a spirit of fear. So we know if we're feeling fearful, it is of the devil, and we immediately, you know, get away from that. And also starting conversations. I grew up shy. People don't believe it, but I grew up shy. I'm still shy. But I have a way of starting conversations that will take the weight off of me, and this may also help her. You know, if you see something like Dorlisa said, something that they're wearing that is really appealing to you, or it could be, you know, if you're in the market, they may have something in their cart. You know, it's something that you've tried before, something that you haven't tried before. You know, you can say, oh, if it's something you haven't tried before, ask them, how does that taste? I've never tried that. You know, and what's the price? You know, and that can start off a conversation. I started using those techniques to bring me out of my shyness. And now I've become a social butterfly, but I still know how to revert back to being shy. But you know that you're good enough, and for you to take control of the conversation, for you to start the conversation, you will definitely feel better about yourself, and you will know that you're good enough.
Absolutely. Some sound advice. We're going to actually take one more online message here. And this is actually it's kind of combined. We have a young male and we have an adult male, because they have identified themselves. That's how I know. Now, the young male is basically saying that he knows that he is good enough. The problem is that he has friends that are not so good, and I'm using his words, and he has friends that are decent. What he wants to know is, how can he bring the two together without feeling like he's selling out? My goodness. So either one of you chime in and just give him something so we can get him some sound advice. Okay.
Well, first of all, the ones, this is just my opinion, the ones that are not so good enough, you need to put them on the back burner. The ones that, you know, are doing positive things, you know, you talk with them, you work with them, you explain to them that you do have some not so desirable associates, and do not use the term friend very lightly. I do not throw the word friend around. I have several associates, but when I say friend, they are like-minded people. So your friends need to be like-minded people going in the same direction you're going in. But, you know, talk with your associates that are going in the right direction and let them know that you have these other associates that you really, truly care about, but they may not always do the right thing or even focus on the right thing, so that, you know, it's strength in numbers. So it's not just you trying to bring the two together. It's you and your associates that are positive and like-minded coming together to the others to show them that it's better to switch over into the way that you guys think. That's my opinion.
Okay. And then I want to address this adult male, and this will be the last one. And so, I mean, everyone, you can tune in at our next scheduled time. Hello. It's a beautiful day. But this one in particular says that he used to be in the street. He used to be in the street hard, and I'm reading him verbatim, living that life. But he's overcome it. He is successful now in his own right. But the people that were from that life are people that have been in his life basically all his life. Some of them have turned over a new leaf, and some of them have not. But he has a genuine love for all of them. How can I then show them that I once felt that I was not good enough, but actions, I've proved to myself first that I'm good enough, but how can I then relate to these very people where some have gotten it and the others have not? How do I bridge the gap, basically? Lisa, you want to talk to him?
Well, first of all, I just want to just congratulate him for removing himself from that and getting himself out. So that already speaks in his own mind, his power that he has. And the reason that he has some of the associates, the friends, that actually were able to get out was because they saw something in him. Now, the ones that are still there, whether they want to admit it or not, they envy him. They are there. Some of them might be jealous, and they want to bring him back down. Some actually want to do what he did, but are afraid to tell him, you know, this is what I want to do. And instead of that, they might be coming to him and saying, you know, man, why you go out here? Why'd you sell us out like that? So my personal, what I'm actually giving him is just to continue to do what he's doing, because he is actually doing what God is telling him to do, because he said, okay, you've been there. And so there, that would give him it would actually give him the fact that he would be able to relate to those that are in that life, because he's been there, he's lived there, and he's also that vessel to guide them out. For those that are continuing to call him a sellout, he needs to continue to move forward and do what he's doing, what he is destined to do, because those that will follow. And one thing that I always will attest to is that, you know, you can give them a pathway out. That does not mean that they're going to take it. And one thing about people, it doesn't matter what their color is, they will see that you're succeeding, and they know that they're not, so they would rather pull you back down in that bucket where they know that they're not succeeding, and not only make knowing that they're unhappy, but to also make you unhappy as well. And that way they feel that they have accomplished something by pulling you back down. So to continue, and just to sum it all up, continue moving forward. Take those that want to go with you, but understand that not all will.
Great. That's very, very great. He says thank you so much. The other, they both say thank you, thank you, thank you. And I'm going to thank the both of you as well. Now, I'm going to sum it up for the both of them in my own word and way. And I'm just going to just say to you this. When it comes down to who you deal with, life will bring you individuals that are positive. They will bring you individuals that are negative. And I'm not saying that your people are positive and or negative. I'm going by your words. Care enough about somebody and you see them having the willingness to change, then lead them in that right direction. Remember, you cannot become who they want to be for themselves, but you can lead a way in order for them to be able to get to a space and place to where they understand and they reflect it back upon themselves that I can do what he's done, or I can be where I need to be without doing what I'm currently doing. Because the one thing that I know and that I understand is that people are quick to leave you alone when they feel or when they see your actions, and they may not necessarily be so good. And a lot of times, in some instances, it's a facade because that's all you know. So when you are vulnerable, even as a man, a young man or older man, you always don't want people to see that because for some reason, you men and young men out there, you think that being vulnerable makes you tap into what your feminine side? No, no, no. In my opinion, that makes you a man because it doesn't matter what someone says or thinks to you, you know, to you or thinks about you, you know who you are. So in that instance, with you knowing who you are, no one can tell you if you are not good enough or if you are good enough. Basically, no one can define who you are as a person. Remember, someone or a few someone can only have power over you if you choose to give them your power. And giving them your power is giving them the right to do what they want to do and say what they want to do to you. So I'm just saying for you today, give yourself the permission to take your power back. Give yourself the permission that no matter what anyone says or does, it begins and ends, number one, with God, and then number two, with you. But most importantly, give yourself the permission to live on purpose. And anything that you do, let it be purposeful in the direction that you're going, and also let it be purposeful in who you know you are and whom you want to become. Because can no one define your you but you? And I'm going to end it there. At this time, absolutely, I just want to thank my great and powerful women that are co-hosting with me today, Mrs. Monica Wimberly and also Mrs. Elisa Mullen Mitchell. I just want, because we have vendors on the line, and I see you because you're flashing. So I just want them to also be able to contribute, so very importantly, to our prospective organizations, and also, you know, just tell people how they can get in contact with you for business inquiries, you know, and I'll just go ahead and let you all speak, whoever wants to go first. Hello?
Oh, I was away from my phone. I apologize, Camille. My information, you can reach me, you can email me. I'm Dynasty of Excellence, and so you can email me directly at dyofex7.ll@gmail.com, or you may call me directly at 443-203-8622. I'm the CEO and founder of Dynasty of Excellence.
Wonderful. And I will also post that information out there again for the ones that, you know, you didn't hear it. I will post it out there for you to get her information. Mrs. Monica Wimberly, and your contact information?
Yes. My contact information, you can reach me by email, and it is Team Energy Foundation @AOL.com.
And again, ladies,
TEAM Energy, ENERGY, Foundation, FOUNDATION, @AOL.com. Thank you so much.
Wonderful. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Ladies, gentlemen, whomever, you know, any and everyone out there in radio land today, this has been another Fresh Perspective and your Powerful Purpose Moments coming to you by Power with Purpose. Thank you so much for your interaction, for the such positive messages for both of our co-hosts. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much, and I will see you again at our next scheduled time. Let's continue to have the conversation that will change lives now and forevermore. So be blessed, and remember, you are powerful with your imperfect selves. Thank you so very much. Have a blessed day.
Thank you as well.